When we were preparing this, you get a little nervous. I mean, you guys are great, so we're not nervous now. But at the time you're thinking about doing this, you get a little nervous. And Cindy's turned to me and she goes, you know, it'd be a lot easier if you weren't in the room. So I'm thinking maybe now's the time for me to leave and just let her take over. What do you think? I just want to briefly mention that a number of years ago when I attended the first of this kind of an event, After my wife had died, I remember looking out into an auditorium, kind of like where we saw, where we're just done eating, and seeing just a whole gymnasium full of people. And come on in. And we come in. Yeah, welcome. And I remember looking out and seeing all of these people and remembering how I felt and how I had felt and the grief and the sorrow I'd gone through. And I was really overwhelmed by the thought that this room is full of people who have had such hard things. And that's even just a small piece of the numbers of who've lost a spouse. And so my heart goes out to you. We all are members of an unfortunate club but I just want you to know that even though we don't all know exactly how each other feels because we all have different circumstances, our hearts go out to you and the loss that you've had and the difficulty and the pain that's been involved with that. Our topic is For the Strength of You. I'm sure you all are aware of the pamphlet that the church has published, For the Strength of Youth, which has a number of topics in it. A very inspired document. It's a great advice for all members of the church, not just youth. But we have been asked to kind of take the dating portion of that pamphlet, and what we've done is take that and sort of apply it to people in our circumstances, as we thought it kind of applied, and talk a little bit about how it can guide us in dating, whether you're dating now or whether you're thinking about dating. So we've taken certain phrases out of the Strength of Youth pamphlet that relates to dating, modified it to kind of apply to us, and then we'll talk a little bit about some of our experiences with that. You know, it's obviously going to be a little different than what you see there. Everybody here probably meets the qualification of being at least 16 before you're dating, so, you know, that kind of thing. We try to make it more applicable to our circumstances. Just one other thing before we jump into it. We don't consider ourselves experts. We don't consider ourselves having all the answers. But we have gone through the dating process. We've had some really, really good experiences. We've had some not very good experiences, too. And we want to share some of our thoughts and ideas with you and have some time, hopefully, for some interaction and discussion, too. So we'll start with Cindy. Go ahead, please.
So the first sentence that we're going to talk about is, you should not date until you are emotionally ready. And if you were anything like me, if you think about a tragedy or any stressful event that you're in, it's so hard for your mind to think clearly. I remember several times going into a room to do something or pick up something and forgetting why in the world I was there. And I remember even driving from one place to another and thinking, how did I get here? Because I was so in... There were times I was so dazed and confused and distracted, and our minds have a hard time, I think, after just coming to grips with the shock that we've been through. And also, I just wanted to feel normal again. I wanted to be out of pain. I was ready to do anything. I don't want to feel like this anymore. And so you think about dating and maybe new attraction. And it's exciting, and it can be, it can kind of take you from that place of sadness to a different feeling that can be lots better than loneliness. And so because of those things, sometimes we can jump into dating before being emotionally ready for it. And you think, if you compare where we're at now and how marriage was, in marriage, it's inevitable that after a period of time, you get really comfortable, and you get in routine, and you kind of have a lull in marriage. And all of a sudden, you're in a situation where you're dating again and it's you have all that excitement come back. And to just be aware of those feelings. And I think the biggest thing is that we want to be loved. And we have love to give. And so we may want to jump into that. We know how that feels, but we just need to make. So how do we know if we're emotionally ready? I've thought of just a few things. And I think number one is to think about how we're doing spiritually. And when I think about that, I remember thinking church should be, Sundays should be like one of the best days. I did not like Sundays. Sundays were so hard for me. I'd go to church and I'd see these perfect families appearing to, you know, the mom and the dad and the kids, and I'd see loving couples, and it just was so hard for me. And the songs, some of the music, they would start the hymns and I'd start crying, and so I think we need to think, where are we at emotionally? Are we feeling close to our Heavenly Father? How are we doing that way? Another thing to maybe think about is, are we confident? And when we think about confidence, it's okay to want to get married. It's okay to be interested in someone else and to want to move forward in that way. But are we feeling like we will never be happy unless we marry again? Is your thought that the only way I'm going to feel joy again is if I have someone else in my life? And I think if we are feeling that way, that's not an emotionally healthy place to be either, because Heavenly Father wants us to be happy in every circumstance we're in. And if we're finding that we can't be happy without someone else, then we're probably not emotionally ready yet to think about dating yet until we're really good with ourselves. And so the next thing I thought about is, how is our relationship with our kids? And if you have a child or children that are really falling off the deep end, really struggling, for us to bring someone else into their world is just not probably a good idea. So though that is not the most important thing, and kids shouldn't trump if what Heavenly Father is telling us to do, or if we really think that, but we really need to take our children into consideration and where they're at. So, and the last thing that the question I thought that we could maybe ask is, do you feel like you're moving forward? So it's totally appropriate for us to think, this really stinks. This life is not what I want it to be. This is not what I had planned. But we can go from that, being really aware of our thoughts, like, okay, the bishop isn't understanding me. The ward isn't doing enough for me. Everybody around me is saying the wrong things. I just, all these negative type of thoughts, like my life is horrible. I'm never going to be happy again. That's an indication maybe that we're not emotionally healthy either. I think we know when we're emotionally healthy when we start thinking about others again. Like, you know, when was the last time I thought about my neighbor that could be struggling? Or when's the last time I wrote a note to somebody thanking them for something that I did? And if we are able to look outside of our own pain, then we know that we're starting to heal when we're ready to start serving again. It's a good indication of health. And if we're having a hard time moving out of that spot, which is can be so natural, I hope that you have someone that is a trusted friend, somebody that you can go to and you can unload on, and they can help you through those things. But Brian and I both have a really strong testimony of, if you're willing to go to a grief counselor and talk to somebody who's unbiased, who is trained, who can help you through those, I am just not able to move forward right now. I need some help. And they can really be a source of great help. To help you know when you are ready to maybe move forward in dating, and maybe say, no, maybe not quite yet. So
I had a really good experience with meeting with a grief counselor, not every week by any means, but it was occasional. It was kind of on an occasional basis whenever I needed to, but over a period of many years, I did that actually, and it was just a very great blessing to me. Gave me someone to talk to about my kids and what was going on. You know, you lose your spouse, you lose that person to talk to, and it's like I needed to have someone I could run these ideas past. And like Cindy says, we kind of have, our minds are scattered, they're all messed up, and we're so unable to think clearly sometimes. It's good to have that. It's great to have friends and family to talk to, but to have somebody who's not part of the situation, who doesn't, isn't part of the family, I think is really valuable, who has that training. In my particular case, I actually, I mean, there's no set exact amount of time to say after so many months or years or whatever, it's time to get married or to get start dating. But I think what Cindy, she's given you some good ideas on how to evaluate that a little bit. In my particular case, I made a decision, probably it was about 8 months after my wife had died, that I began a little bit of dating with the woman in my ward. And not that it was a bad experience, really, but as I look back on it now and how my children felt about that, I wish I would have waited a little longer. I wish I would have waited a little longer before for them and also for me, that I'd be a little more clear in my mind. But we'd like to move on to the next segment from Strength of Youth with this statement. Developing serious relationships too early can limit the number of other people you meet and can perhaps lead to immorality. Remember that a man and a woman on a date are responsible to protect each other's honor and virtue. Choose to date only those who have high moral standards and in whose company you can maintain your standards. So we want to talk a little bit about moral cleanliness and the importance of that. You know, if you think about it, everyone who's been married, all of us, have had the experience of having a full expression of our feelings for our spouse. You know, we've been able to share that intimacy. And so I think that in a way, you look at the 16-year-olds you're talking about, you're teaching Strength of Youth to, and us, in some ways I think it's harder. It can be much harder for us, having had that experience. And so I think that it's really important. You know, the adversary wants to mess us up any way he can, and this is one of the best ways he can mess with us. You know, on top of having the scattered brain and the trauma of having lost your spouse, if you throw into that having emotional or physical intimacy too soon, it can mess you up so bad that you'll never make a good decision in terms of who you date and potentially marry. The guidelines in the Strength of Youth are really apply to us, whether you're 16 or you're 96, and anywhere in between. I think the things that I taught my teenage kids when they were growing up, started dating, you know, I said to them things like, your hands should never be in the place where a modest swimsuit would be on the other person. You know, you should always, you know, that on the trucks we talk about four on the floor, you know that phrase? Maybe you do. I say when you're sitting on a couch, four on the floor, 4 feet on the floor at all times. I mean, things like that, just little things to try to keep and remember to give you guidelines. Because, you know, again, we have these strong feelings and these temptations that can come to us regardless of our age. Another thing is, it's not always just what we may do, but sometimes what we say. With today's media, you know, social media, those kind of things, and dating sites, the ability to communicate, you have to be careful not to get too intimate or say things in communications that would arouse inappropriate feelings. Maybe you can kind of liken this a little bit to the idea of baking a cake. We've all baked a cake, and it takes certain ingredients put together in the right amounts, mixed together, baked, cooled, and then frosted, right? That's kind of how you make a cake. And a relationship can be the same kind of thing. There's certain elements you need, certain amounts, in certain order, in certain times. And it takes some time, and you want to make sure you mix it up right. If you tried to frost the cake before you'd mixed it and cooked it, it wouldn't work out too well, right? Well, frosting can be maybe likened to like intimacy. Physical or emotional intimacy. If you jump to the frosting too soon, it messes up what really is can be a wonderful thing. We all like frosting. It's wonderful. But let's put it on at the right time, in the right order. and make sure that the other elements of a strong relationship can be there, cooked, mixed together and cooked in the proper order.
I think the other thing about emotional intimacy and physical intimacy being too much too soon is that it creates this false feeling of love. You can think that you're in love with this person that you don't really even know because you love the way you feel. And it may not be true at all. And so it can mask what real love is and feel like real love, and it's not. So just have to be really careful.
And it can happen unintentionally without you even really knowing it. It's easy to, for that slippery slide to kind of move on down, and all of a sudden you're thinking, wait a minute, what am I like Cindy said, you have these false feelings that you think are true love. I've had a very strong feeling about the fact that every one of us in this room has had a very difficult thing to deal with. And it is so wrong for another person to mess with your heart and mess with your life when you have gone through what, I mean, we shouldn't do that with anybody, but I think about in a relationship, when you date, we need to be clear and upfront. I mean, there are predators out there who might try to do things, but even with people who aren't predators, who have good intentions, you have to be careful to not mess with someone's heart. And being too emotionally or physically intimate too soon can really mess with somebody's heart really bad. Be very careful about that.
Should we move on?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing we're going to talk about is, in the Strength of Youth, it says, plan dating activities that are safe, positive, and inexpensive, and that will help you get to know each other. Go to places where you maintain your standards and remain close to the Spirit. So one of the great things about getting online is you can get to know some new people. But we feel really strongly that online can be very useful for one thing and one thing only, and that's introduction. If you're really wanting to get to know somebody, it's not the way you have to spend time with a person to really get to know them. And you can do a lot of communicating to know superficial things, and you just hope that they're telling you mostly the truth, hopefully all the truth, but you just never know. They could be telling you they have a recommend, temple recommend. They could be telling you how old they are. They could be saying all kinds of things that may not be true. So don't believe what you hear. Wait until you meet the person to really know what they're about. I saw this funny cartoon, and Brian didn't think it was that funny, but I thought it was kind of funny.
I'm thinking it's more and more funny.
I don't know. So it's these... trying to get on my good side. So there are these two dogs, and they're talking to each other. They're obviously friends. And the one dog says to the other one, I met someone wonderful in a chat room. Then I found out she's a cat. So you have to be so careful, because you can just know something. Like, I know this person. And then you realize, I didn't know this person at all. So just be super careful. And then the first date, never have them pick you up. It should always meet in a public place, lots of people around. And I think about the men that are dating and the money, that the time that it takes for them. They could be asking out several women. And if their dates are a whole day planned with, we're going to do dinner and we're going to do this fun activity, it can be very expensive for them. And so if you say, you know, let's just meet and get a shake, just a half an hour deal, you can sit down and pretty quickly you can know, I might want to spend more time a second date with this guy. And pretty quickly you might think, oh no, this is not somebody that I want to spend time with. And it's good to know that with just a half an hour, rather than I have to spend all day with this dude that I don't really even want to be with, you know? So if it's just a quick thing at first, and then they're not having to spend a lot of money and time, and it's just a kind thing to do, and I think it's more safe.
From one man's standpoint, I appreciate honesty too. If for the women, I think that if you're not interested, the best thing to do is be honest.
for sure.
The sooner the better, and don't drag them on. You know, I appreciate honesty. You know, if somebody doesn't want to go out with me, that's okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to give you the mic because they're taping this. So.
Okay. I try to date guys sometimes, and if I'm not interested, I tell them, like, sorry, I'm interested in someone else. But sometimes they think that I'm very rude. I don't know what to do sometimes. I feel, like, so awkward and so uncomfortable because the guys think, like, I'm so mean. Mm-hmm. And I don't got to explain my life. It's like, I looking for that standard person. It's like, it's not that thing.
You know, that is such a good point. And I think we can say things in a certain way, like, you are such a great guy, you know, and I'm sure you're going to find somebody, but it's still rejection. You know, that's still not, and it wouldn't feel good to us either. But later on, they're going to appreciate it because even if they don't at that minute, they've just gotten their feelings hurt. But a couple days later, they're going to go, that was a pretty cool thing she did.
And even if they I still think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You should
continue. You're doing the right thing. Just keep doing it.
Continue doing that. Yeah. It's the right thing to do. And even if someone is upset about it, I mean, what's worse, that or leading them on? And then getting into a more difficult situation to break apart.
It's always harder later, yeah. Always. So the sooner
Being
the better,
front,
even if they're
really
not very happy about it. Another thing, when you're thinking about dating, when you go on a date and it's out to eat and to a movie or to a concert and you're doing all those fun things, those are great. But when you start really thinking seriously about somebody, it's easy for somebody to be nice and kind and a great person when you're doing super fun things all the time. It's in the real life situations. You know, I've got to clean my bathroom today. You want to come over and help me clean my kitchen? Or, you know, when you've really gotten to know them, do real life things with them, cook with them, do yard work with them. It will teach you, you know, is this guy a hard worker? Just a lot of things. You just get to know people better when you're not just doing all the fun things.
When Cindy and I were dating, we were very fortunate to live relatively close to each other. So we were able to spend a lot of time together doing everyday stuff. So by the time we dated, from the time we started dating to getting married, it was about a year and a half. And we did all kinds of things. And we had fun things we did, but she came over and helped me clean up my kitchen, and I'd go help her fix a drawer. I mean, just everyday, real-life stuff. If you're thinking about somebody that you may want to marry, see them in circumstances that are uncomfortable, stressful, all four seasons, all kinds of different things.
So I have a story about the uncomfortable and stressful situation. So I had this older son that was really, really struggling, and he had gotten off work. He had a bullet bike, and he's going home, and he's going too fast. A policeman tries to pull him over. He decides to outrun the cop, and he comes to my house. Well, Brian's convertible was parked in my driveway, and my son ran right into his convertible with his bullet bike. And cops, I think there were seven that showed up at my house. Guns out at my, it was not.
Handcuffed on the ground.
Yeah, it was a horrible day. But I watched Brian in that situation, and it was such an indication of who he was to me. He was all about me and my boy. Are you guys going to be okay? And so it's good to see him in stressful situations. You know, he could have been really upset with my son, but it wasn't like that. So it's good to see not just happy times, but some hard times too when you're getting serious with somebody. Oh, and by the way, I should tell you, he had to spend 4 weekends in jail. During his jail time, he read the Book of Mormon, ended up going on a mission, served so honorably. He's now married in the temple to a sweet, sweet girl. So don't give up on those kids. they will be okay in the end. Just love them and just don't give up hope, because it's a hard thing. So
the convertible's gone, though. I had to sell it to pay for my daughter's wedding and reception. What's important in life, right? Time to move on here.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next thing we want to do is talk a little bit about, we've talked about somewhat, but a little bit more about the idea of when you think you might be getting serious with someone. One of the statements in the Strength of Youth that we've modified is, invite your friends to become acquainted with those you date. We think that it's a critical step to find a close friend who loves you, who cares about you, who knows you, who's interested in you, to be a third party to evaluate the person that you may be dating. There's a story of two brothers who go out for a nice hike on a beautiful fall afternoon, and a huge, terrible blizzard rushes in, unexpected, and they get caught in this blizzard, and they get lost, and their lives are in danger. And they're trying to find their way back, and one of the brothers says, I just need to sit down and rest. Just give me 20 minutes so I can rest. And his brother realizes what's going on, and he gets a big old tree branch and starts just whacking on him to keep him moving. And he's mad. He's cussing at his brother. I just need a minute. Just give me a minute. And he just keeps on smacking him. He says, I know, but I just need to do this. Brother keeps on smacking him. Eventually, they get rescued, and his brother then realizes, the one who's wanting to stop, realizes, my brother just saved my life. I didn't like it at the time, but look at what he did for me. What I'm suggesting is that you need to find somebody who's willing to get a big tree branch and smack you on the side of the head when you're in a situation that they can see may not be the best. I had a personal experience with this, actually, where I was in a long-distance relationship, and I had gotten into a very serious relationship. Without going into the details, my brother came to me and talked to me about that, tried to steer me clear, and I thought I knew exactly what needed to be done. I didn't listen to him, but he was whacking me with a branch, but it ended up being a very, very difficult and very, very painful relationship that could have been avoided if I had given it some time, if I'd listened to my brother. But the main point is, an important key here, I think, is to find someone who can talk clearly to you, who will tell you the truth, not tell you what you want to hear, but what needs to be said.
It can also be a blessing to have lots of other people's opinions, because I had a very difficult time dating and remarrying. And the thing that probably helped me the most was I met Brian's neighbors who had known him for 14 years. I knew his bishop and his wife very well. I went to his work and met all of his coworkers, and everywhere I turned, you'd be crazy if you let this guy go. He is the most amazing man. He treated his wife so well, all of these things. And so it was such a comfort to me to think so many people knew him well for many years and had only positive to say about him. So
that was very expensive for me, by the way, to talk all those people into saying that.
Oh.
Where are we? Oh, okay, yeah. You all are all aware of the scripture that talks about, when the Lord's talking about providing revelation to you, he says, I will tell you in your mind and in your heart, right? You know that scripture. It's and in your mind and in your heart. I think there's a key there. I really believe that the Lord, you know, feelings and inspiration can come to your heart suddenly, quickly. You can have a strong feeling. My personal opinion is that the mind part of it, I will tell you in your mind, takes some time, and you need to give it time for things to make sense. I know it doesn't always work that way, but what I would encourage you to do is to not only seek confirmation in your heart, but in your mind, that things make sense. that things, you know, mesh with the idea of getting serious with somebody and perhaps marrying them. It's just, and really that takes some time. It takes experiences. It takes, I don't think you can really know in your mind in a weekend or a month. I think you need time to really see how that other person's going to act in stressful circumstances. So my encouragement would be that you take time. The time is your best friend. Time will reveal situations to you. Time will reveal what a person is, for good or for ill. So I can't tell you the exact amount of time you need to wait, but I think just give it a lot of time. See how things go. Watch situations. See how people act. It's harder to hide really troubling bad things over time. If you give, you know what I'm saying? It's if you have someone's had a deep, dark secret, the more time, the harder it is for them to keep that from you. You don't want to get into a situation where you don't know about that.
And the less surprises, the better. The more information you have about that other person, the less surprises you're going to have, which is always, always better. And, you know, you hear these stories about the man just, I've had a vision, and I'm supposed to marry you. And, or the woman might too. You know I'm supposed to marry this man. And I think that's the heart part, that we may just feel that love, but maybe the mind has not, if everything doesn't mesh, then there's something wrong. And so it's got to be both parties. It's got to be all the experiences put together to really have the information you need to get serious with somebody.
Can I add something too? You know, if you're dating someone and you really like them and you think they may be the right one, what's the harm in still dating somebody else? I mean, at some point, you quit dating other people. But if they're the right one and you date somebody else, they're still going to be the right one. So don't be afraid to date multiple people. And it gives you a comparison basis, too.
Okay, so the next thing that we want to address is how kids come into this whole thing. It's such a hard thing to navigate when you decide to marry. And if I, or to start dating, sorry, not marry, but start dating. If I could share my biggest regret with you when I decided to do this dating thing, I wish that I had decided ahead of time, okay, this is where my kids are at. These are the ages they are. These are their needs. And then I would have said, okay, can I go on one night a week? Is that okay to do for myself? Yeah, probably. I went on a date once a week with my husband when he was alive. I think that's okay for kids to see you doing that. Because what happens is you love this feeling. It's exciting. Someone may have just winked at you. You're checking online. Did someone wink or flirt or whatever? And it makes you feel good. It's a good feeling, you know. And you sit down and you start texting or emailing these people that are interested in you. And 2 hours can go by. And you had no idea that you'd spent that much time online. And it may not happen to you, but I think for a lot of us, it can happen and we don't even know it's happening. And I think about my children, and I think all of our children have already lost one parent. And if we are not careful, they're going to feel like they have lost two parents. They're going to feel like you're not there for them physically, you're not there for them emotionally. And I think that we really need to take responsibility for how much time and effort we're spending and how obsessed we are with these other things. And, you know, I think we have children of different ages. And so it may be perfectly okay to go out several times a week or whatever, but I think about if we are thinking about that 16-year-old who's also dating one of our children, say, and they're getting picked up for their date, that's probably not the right time for us to be going out too, to be being picked up for our date. I mean, it's just hard for the kids. So just keeping all of those things in mind, does your child need to be tucked in every night? Then that's a time that you should be home. And there may be another time that would be better to not to go out than the time that they are needing to be tucked in. Do you kind of get what I'm saying? I just think, oh, I just so want to share this because I don't want you to have any regrets. And when we think about kids, yes.
I have three kids under six.
Okay. So they're little ones.
So they're still little. Okay.
So, like, obviously they need to be tucked in at night, but he's been gone for 2 years. He died when I was 27. He was 30. Like, I had a three-week-old, a two-year-old, and a four-year-old. And so, like, the past 2 years have just been, like, them and making sure that they're okay. So, like, I think about date night every once in a while, and I think, you know what? My kids can go without me tucking them in once a week.
Absolutely.
Or, like, I think the last time I went on a date was, like, 6 months ago. So every 6 months, they can... they are okay with me not tucking them in. But
I love your input because I think what you're saying is as long as you have a balance there, your kids, you haven't forgotten your kids. You're not neglecting your kids.
If I waited 2 hours, my house would be a mess.
So right. So that would not be what you would ever do.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So, and it's, I think it's just being aware because I think if you're aware, you're not going to make mistakes. If you're not thinking, then it's easy to be, like I say, be online or texting or whatever for hours on the computer and your kids are like, where's mom? She's not here for me, you know?
While I hold myself up in the bathtub. So
good.
It takes them 5 minutes to find me.
You need a minute. It is healthy for you. It is healthy for you to probably a couple times a week. Doesn't have to, you know, be dating. But no, yeah, get a babysitter. You know, say I need 2 hours. I've got to have a minute. Somebody else that's a good sitter can take my kids, and I need 2 hours to myself. That is healthy. That is a good thing. I think it's the dating thing can just become too much. Yeah, so that's the time to
balance is the key.
Yes, right. Yeah, and we're just so hungry for that. You know, when we're giving everything to everyone else, then.
But balance also means you need some time for you too. I mean, you don't want to go too far and get the kids, but you're a better mother and a better person to potentially date if you have things you take care of yourself too.
Well, and I think it can be an amazing thing being married. But if you don't marry the right person, there are worse things than being single. And that is being married to the wrong person. So enjoy being single until you find that man or that woman who is going to be a light and build you and help you. And you know, for kids, I think especially, they can get close to people so quickly. They can fall in love with someone so fast because they have these just loving hearts. And if you put someone in their life and then you rip that person out, that is going to be pretty devastating. So we just really need to be careful. You know what, we need to have question answer time. Quick.
So I'll just do this real quick.
Okay.
Just to kind of wrap it up, summarize, because we are out of time. Elder Maxwell used to like to talk about truth as being things as they really are. We'd like you to evaluate truth or things as they really are as they relate to three things. First, yourself. Are you emotionally ready to date? Second, those that you are or may be dating. Ask yourself the question, am I being too intimate emotionally or physically? Too soon? Are you giving enough time to know? Are you giving things enough time to know in your mind as well as in your heart? Three, your other responsibilities, specifically your family and your children. Am I giving sufficient attention to them? We'd recommend that you evaluate those three things and see how things really are. And the two things we think that you can do to try to evaluate that is, number one, get that friend who can smack you with the tree branch if need be. And most importantly, above all, go to the Lord in prayer with an open heart and mind. Have your heart really wide open and listen to him, what he has to say about those three areas. So that's kind of summarizes, I think, in some degree what we've talked about. We'd like to take just a minute to see if you have anything you want to talk about for 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we'll just wrap up with a very quick, quick testimony. Yes, please.
Oh, sorry. I'm
either way,
you're fine.
Oh, thank you. Yes, one of my biggest things right now is my son is 11, and I've always heard, and I strongly believe in, you know, if I decide I want to go have dinner with somebody, he doesn't become part of Braden's life. It's not until, you know, a relationship has been established, some serious decisions have been made, what yada, yada, yada. Well, what if he asks for it? What if he comes to me and says, Mommy, I want to go out with you and John tonight. What do I say to him, and what are the reasons for me saying yes or no?
So I am really honest with my kids. So if my child were to come to me and say that, I would say to him, I don't know how close I'm going to ever be to this man. And if you get really attached to him, that's going to be very hard for you. And an 11-year-old, I think, will understand that. And then you can say, you know, use the mom trump card. This is just the way it's going to be. And when I feel like it's time, I will let you, you know, be with us. But until that time, I'm just going to be, you know, alone with him. And it's because I love you. It's because I'm trying to protect you. You know, if they know that it's totally because you're thinking about them, then it's
a really good question. It's hard to know.
I was just curious. You mentioned emotional intimacy, and of course, being in a married relationship for almost 16 and a half years before I lost my husband, I guess I don't really understand what exactly you're referring to as emotional intimacy, too much, too soon. If you could give a little more clarification on that.
Do you want to touch on it? Go ahead.
Do you have an idea? When I think about emotional intimacy, I think about teenagers that start saying I love you to someone way too early, just texting, because it's easier to, you know, to do that kind of thing through media. It's maybe sharing stuff that's very, very personal when you don't really know someone. And what that does is it makes you feel like they're trustworthy because you've shared those personal things when maybe they're not. And so until they have done things that have shown that they are trustworthy and that they are telling you the truth and that you have good vibes about them, I think it's just really important to not share things with somebody that you don't really, really know. I mean, we wouldn't walk up to somebody on the street and say something, some things about our lives to them, but yet we're willing as the first date sometimes to share stuff, and we don't know them. And what that will cause is a false sense of he's trustworthy, I really like him, when he's not.
I think you can get to know somebody and know what they're like for a while before you open up and bare your soul to them. You can still get to know someone without saying, let me tell you everything about me, you know. And it may not be at all sexual. It can be very much just the emotional things you're dealing with.
I think it has to be a natural progression. I go to the comprehensive clinic, which is awesome. But with my therapist, she's like, you don't just walk up to someone and say, I'm a widow. Like, it's a natural, and I don't do that. Just to let you know. But she's like, you get through the natural progression and people find out that you're a widow. So that's the same thing, I think, with a relationship. You have natural progressions, your likes, your dislikes, your, like, what do you like to eat or where do you like to travel or stuff like that. There's tons of things to talk about. Like, do you like to run or what are your hobbies before you
jump into...
My husband died, and these are all the emotions I went through. Because that's like burying your soul a little bit more than, I went for a run this morning, and it was great.
Right.
Like,
very
do you get
good.
What I mean?
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
I just have a question about the kids.
Yeah.
I've only ever been a second wife. When I got married at 21, my husband had three kids that lived with us full time. So I was always the second mom. We'd only been on two dates without his children before we got married. And as I am starting to look at dating again, I don't want to date somebody more than once or twice until they meet my kids and I see the interaction. And is that totally wrong? Because I'm going, what's the point of dating him if he doesn't like kids? Or, you know, I mean, if there's an instant repelling whatever, I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of a balance, because you have to balance between what you're trying to accomplish and also, on the other hand, messing with the emotions of the child too soon, whipsawing them back and forth between this guy and then this guy. I think that some of the things you want to know about the person you're dating with children, you can do without them meeting your children. Not everything, certainly. You can't know exactly how it's going to be. You never really will, for sure. But, you know, you can talk to them about it. Hey, I got three kids. This is what they're like. Did you have kids like that? What did you do in that situation? You know, ask them circumstantial kind of questions to get a feel for how they might respond.
Just one more, and then we probably
we'll wrap up here after this one.
Yeah, because I'm not from here. I'm from Mexico. Like everyone, like it's very different questions. Like they ask me in my first day sometimes, like, where you come here to America, and it's like, you need to give a little more your background. And it's like the first day sometimes, or the second day, it's like not very helpful, I think, sometimes for me and my position. I don't know what I can do it.
So they're asking personal questions, and then what are you going to say? Because they've asked you, and yeah, so that's...
Are you saying that they ask questions too much, too soon?
That are personal questions?
Yeah, because it's like, where you come... America is like, it's very personal, because like a person not from here is like, I can.
So what's a kind way to say to somebody you're not ready to tell them that yet? You know,
well, you could, I think you can
we yeah.
You don't need to.
I come to marry, and they say like, oh, are you a divorce? And I say like, no, my situation is very different. And
it sounds like you're doing it as well as you can. It can be awkward.
I think you can answer very generally without being specific. You think of some things like, I came here because I felt like there'd be some good opportunities for me. I mean, that's, I don't know.
That's very general.
Your husband was a good opportunity, so there was your opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, I don't think...
Yeah.
I think you can say, I'm a widow, my wife died,
right. Yeah.
Without
yeah.
bearing your soul about every detail of it. I think in the interest of being straightforward and upfront and honest, you need to say, you know, I'm divorced, I'm widowed, I have five kids. I mean, those kind of things are facts that ought to be given upfront. But if you want, you don't have to talk about the details of why the divorce happened the way it did. Yet, I mean, you want to talk about that at some point, but not up front.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, even online, you already know if they're a widow or
divorced.
That's
exactly right.
You know what they like. I mean, you're past everything that you talked about before you even meet each other.
Yeah.
If they were honest online. If they were honest online.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah.
If they're not.
I have an example. When I was dating my husband, he's a convert, and I knew he was, and I said, "Will you please tell me?" I said, "Will you please tell me all about your conversion story? I'd love to know it." And he said to me, and we had only been out on like a date or two, he said to me, "I would love to share it, but I don't. It's very personal and to me, and I won't share it until I feel that I'm." You know, he didn't want to cast pearls before swine.
Sure.
If you understand, he didn't know if I was a swine yet. And I understood that, and I went, okay, I totally get that. And then when he did share that with me, I felt very privileged that I had finally gotten to the point that he felt that I was worthy to receive that.
Oh, I like that. Thank you.
Maybe a good answer is, I'd be happy to share that with you when I get to know you better. We need to wrap up. We're kind of behind.
So just in closing, when my husband passed away, I thought, okay, this is the biggie that they talk about. Now I turn to Heavenly Father and I trust in Him, and then I endure to the end. And I shared this with a friend, and she said, "Cindy, you have about at least 40 years left of your life. You know, maybe it's not the endure to the end phase yet. And I started to cry. I was like, this is too hard. I want it to be the end of the, you know, endure to the end phase. But it got me thinking and made me ponder about, you know, what she'd said. And I began to understand some things better. In the last talk of April conference with Elder Holland, I loved it. He quoted President George Q. Cannon, and he said, no matter how serious the trial, how deep the distress, how great the affliction, God will never desert us. He never has, and he never will. He cannot do it. It is not in his character to do so. He will always stand by us. We may pass through the fiery furnace, we may pass through deep waters, but we shall not be consumed or overwhelmed. We shall emerge from all these trials and difficulties the better and purer for them. Elder Holland goes on to say, so keep loving, keep trying, keep trusting, keep believing, keep growing. Heaven is cheering you on today, tomorrow, and forever. Whether we decide to date or not, whether we marry or we don't marry, the Lord expects us to use our experience to do great things. He needs our help, and he loves us so much, and he will be with us every step of the way. And I have felt of his love, and I know that he loves each of you, and I say things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I'm just very grateful. I'm grateful for Cindy. I could go on and on about her, but I'm very fortunate. I felt the Lord's hand in our relationship, and so huge blessing in my life. I also have a quote from Elder Holland. So I'll just finish with his words. Because Jesus walked such a long and lonely path utterly alone, we do not have to do so. It is the truth is that we never will be left alone or unaided, even if sometimes we may feel that we are. Truly the Redeemer of us all said, I will not leave you comfortless. My Father and I will come to you and abide with you. And I will close with my testimony of the reality of the Savior Jesus Christ and of his love for us. And I know he knows you. I know he knows your circumstances. I know that he cares about you and will be with you at all times, even if you don't know it. And I bear that testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.